Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. MSNBC wants you to be very, very afraid of Christians. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating. You can also email us, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. Joining me now to get through the news of the Cray, as we always do, each and every weekday, bright and early, Billy Hallowell, Trey Gones Phillips. And as I said there, Billy, MSNBC had a pretty anti-Christian segment recently.
Yeah, pretty bizarre segment. Lots of fear over the Bible, possibly changing young minds and hearts. So yeah, we'll get into that bizarre segment.
Dazzling school children with fun things. How dare they? So yeah, look forward to the details on that. Also on the main thing coming up, we've got a group of farmers who have gone over to Israel to help Israelis harvest their crops because they couldn't do it because they had to leave near Gaza because of the war. So this is a great story from CBN's Julie Stahl. We'll have that for the main thing. Want to make sure you subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts if you haven't already. DC Debrief with John Stolness once a week on Fridays, rounding up everything going on in DC, and Billy's Newsmakers podcast, a full-length interview each and every weekday. Don't miss those. You can follow those. The links to those podcasts are in the description of this podcast. So with all that set, let's head on over to the news here in 90 seconds. An illegal battle over religious freedom is escalating in a small town outside of San Francisco. A group of Christians with the Albany Lions Club have launched a renewed effort to reinstall a 28-foot cross that was torn down last year. The monument had come under scrutiny in 2015 when East Bay atheists began challenging the cross's constitutionality, claimed it symbolized a preference of one religion over the others. In 2017, Albany's mayor also criticized the Lions Club for illuminating the cross for a 9/11 anniversary. And a dangerous tornado and flooding situations unfolding in southern parts of New Orleans. They're at risk for life-threatening flash flooding as torrential rainfall deluged the city and surrounding towns. More than 30 million people across the southeast are under a severe storm threat. And Arizona's Supreme Court has upheld a 160-year-old measure outlawing abortion, except when the mother's life is in danger. Until now, abortion has been legal in Arizona up to 15 weeks of pregnancy. The Arizona court ruled that because Roe v. Wade was overturned, there is no federal law preventing the state from reinstating the law that banned terminating preborn lives. Those are just some of today's top headlines. You can check out more stories over at cbnnews.com. Guys, we have this Arizona law, and this is what we've been talking about after Trump's statement, kind of how things are going to play out in the states, and this will be another one of these things. I think immediately Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are planning to go and visit Arizona and make a big to do about this. So you can see how this is going to take center stage in November.
Yeah. Well, and you've seen that Trump has said it went too far. So yeah, you know, you've got Trump saying that, you've got Biden doing this. This is going to be, abortion is going to be a major issue still. And where it's going to get interesting is that you have the person responsible for nominating the justices that overturned it is a person who is now trying to sort of separate himself from the issue a little bit. And that makes it interesting when you don't really have anybody in the presidential fight who is defending essentially that decision, the Dobbs decision. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, setting aside the moral case against abortion, I think if you look at Trump, the irony is that all of the things that you said, Billy, but also the fact that Trump in the media is painted as this wild radical. But as you were saying, Billy, I think on the podcast yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday, Trump is actually kind of closer to where most of the American people are than Biden is. I mean, Biden is so far to the left on abortion. The Democrats have gone so far to the left to appease a small crowd of really loud people that they've completely lost the the thread of where the American people are. So again, that's setting aside the moral biblical argument against abortion, which is obviously should be center stage. But if we're just looking at politics, Trump is actually far more moderate, even though he's been painted as this far, you know, fringe radical politician. That just doesn't seem to be the case on this issue. So I think the messaging is going to be interesting because Trump is going to have to deal with some infighting with conservatives on the issue, of course. But then Biden is just not even engaging in the conversation. He's just going as far left as he can. I don't even know why.
Yeah, no, it is going to be certainly an issue that is front and center. And of course, we're going to keep on keeping an eye on that. So we'll have more over at cbnnews.com in the coming days and weeks, of course. All right, I want to get over to the focus story now because this segment was quite an eye-opener. The founder and CEO of an organization that provides Bible education during the public school day, they're responding to a recent MSNBC segment. I know you talked to him, Billy. Madison had actually talked to him before all of these segments kind of went viral. There was one segment that wasn't quite like this, but so he reacted briefly to that, but then it got worse. So what's the story here?
Yeah, you know, we've actually been tracking with this for a while. Trade did a story on them not too long ago on atheists coming after them. But this is Joel Penton. He's the head of LifeWise Academy, and they bring Bible education to public school students during the school day. We'll talk about how that works after. But this is something that happens, you know, off school campus during the school day. NBC reached out to Joel. They wanted to profile him and what he was doing. And so they went out, they interviewed him, and then MSNBC picked up that reporter's story, brought the reporter in. And if you were to watch this 9-minute segment, it feels like a Babylon Bee segment in some ways. I mean, it's so over the top and frankly, bizarre. But Joel talked to us about it. He said to him, he thought it was like an SNL skit. And as you sort of watch this segment, MSNBC is sounding the alarm, very panicked, it seems, very worried about the impact that LifeWise Academy will have on young people and in turn on politics. And the entire segment feels very focused on politics. What's going to happen? You know, is this organization going to change young people and ruin sort of these blue islands, as Alex Wagner, the host, was lamenting, these blue islands where apparently progressive ideals are? You know, if LifeWise gets into those areas and these kids go to these, you know, to this Bible education every week, then maybe the blue nature of these areas will be disrupted. And so this entire segment really left Joel pretty surprised because he said he sat down with NBC and he gave them statistics and he gave them information. They have all this great data apparently showing from an independent party that when kids go to this program during the public school day, they actually do better. They show up to school more, they perform better, all the things you would want to see in education. LifeWise is allegedly delivering those things, and NBC left all of that out of their segment. MSNBC, of course, also left all of that out of their segment. So that's sort of a 30,000-foot view on this. He was pretty shocked to see the end result of what they came up with.
Yeah, and in the segment, the tone, too, was interesting. It was very ominous. Like, this was such a danger to children that they might be exposed to this. And in fact, these clubs or whatever they would label them as happen off public school campus. They are during school hours, but they're completely voluntary. So no one's holding a gun to these kids' heads to sign up and go over this thing. And they're like, they're luring them in with popcorn and fun games. And it's like, I don't know. It sounds kind of great to me. It seems like a fun thing for the kid to go to. And so, yeah. but they're lamenting this. And it's like, there's gotta be something wrong with this, some legal problem, even though there isn't. And so it's very, very eye-opening to see this segment of them so, so concerned about it. I think she called it distressing at one point, but what were some of Wagner's other issues with this?
You know, it's interesting. Even the title of the video, the title is Christian Group Uses Public School Adjacent Bible Study Program to Breach Church State Wall. Right. So there's the headline. You mentioned, you know, she called it distressing, and she talked about distressing things happening in the country, and this was no exception to that. She talked about the progressive city part, which I thought was so interesting because it's an admission that the Bible changes hearts and minds. Here's what she said. Penton's LifeWise Academy is currently influencing the minds of public school kids in progressive cities like Columbus. She said that he wants to get into every school around the country. And then she said, blue islands, those blue islands in red states and swing states, they could be swayed by LifeWise. And I want to remind everybody, LifeWise is not a political organization. They're talking, they're sending kids, as you said, Dan, during the school day off campus, and parents opt into it, and they're learning about the Bible. So it's an admission that the Bible actually changes hearts and minds. Joel said he found it funny that they were so threatened by that. They've turned this into a distressing thing. But yeah, I mean, look, LifeWise set a goal to hit 25 schools by 2025. And in 2024, they're in more than 300 schools in like 12 states. So this is making people on the progressive left very, very nervous because it's been very successful.
Yeah, and that's what that is also what's eye-opening about the segment is that they make no bones about that. They don't just talk about, oh, here's some groups and how they're possibly, you know, on the edge of these legal lines or whatever. They don't even take that angle. They take it as this is an ominous threat to what they admit is their preferred worldview in a progressive blue worldview being foist upon kids at a church. Now, I actually looked this up because I thought, I guarantee you, Wagner, at some point, given what she was saying here, has celebrated LGBT inclusion in public schools. And indeed she had. She highlighted some teacher who was just, you know, being overt with LGBT propaganda at school and interviewed this teacher and said, this teacher is phenomenal. This is just great. This is excellent. So I guess she doesn't mind that breach of church and state as long as it's the religion she prefers.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing here, because that's what this is all about. And again, he kept emphasizing, we're not a political organization. We're teaching the Bible, yeah. You know, and he had said something about abortion. So they went out and pulled this clip of him, you know, having his pro-life position and tried to make it like, oh, look, he's trying to, you know, get political, which, of course, again, the Bible changes all of your perspectives. So it should make you more pro-life. It should make you more, you know, so all of these things are going to shift. And that, to me, was the most interesting admission that wasn't actually being stated, but was under the surface in all of this, that this is more about the Bible and the impact it could have on your heart and your mind. And that being a panic to those who maybe don't like those values or don't agree with the traditional biblical take on what all this means.
Yeah. And before we get your reaction to this, Trey, one last question here. Explain how LifeWise is legal, because there are probably some people saying, well, wait a minute, this does sound kind of, you know, if you indeed buy into the theory that there is a wall or separation between church and state, which we could talk about that. I don't really necessarily think so. But as far as establishing it, you're not supposed to do that. But as far as having any, like the way they view this wall now, where you're not even allowed to bring it up, that doesn't exist. So anyway, how is this legal?
Yeah, this is legal under something called release time. These are rules that are completely legal. Schools do not have to participate, but they're allowed to. School districts are allowed to participate. There was a Supreme Court case in 1952. So this has been going on for decades, by the way, and not just Christians. Any religion can do this. You basically, during a child's, you know, let's say it's lunch, recess, library time, non-essential class time, students can be, this is optional. As we said, parents have to opt in. They are bussed out of the school to a church or another location during those periods of time, and they're brought back. So it might be an hour during their lunch, their recess, they're given Bible instruction, they're brought back. LifeWise organizes this, they pay for it. It's not funded by the school district. The buses are private. No, the school district has no part in this outside of allowing the children to go, if the parents want them to, during this time. And so it's completely legal. And by the way, LifeWise itself was started in 2019. This is a relatively new organization, but there are other groups like Bible to School. They've been around for a very long time doing this.
Trey, what's your reaction to this?
Well, I just think as Christians, we shouldn't be surprised that this is the direction this world is going. And I think the telling thing is, we're acting like this is some sort of threat, right? Like these Christians talking to kids, giving them things to do, like exercising their minds, giving them, you know, things to engage in, all of these things are in some way going to hurt or harm them. Like it's framed as if we need to protect kids from this. And I think it just is a reminder that Satan is the prince and power of the air, and that there's a lot of spiritual darkness in the world. And if you just objectively look back, I would hope, you know, obviously I can't tell because I am a believer, so I do have the Holy Spirit. But even if I was not a believer, I would think, or I would hope that I would be able to look at something and say, you know what, I don't necessarily believe in this, but this is certainly not harming my kid for them to be exposed to good moral principles and learn how to live, you know, a life that is, you know, rewarding and fruitful to other people around you. So yeah, I just think it's truly is a reminder that at the end of the day, the gospel is offensive to our human instinct. And I think that's what this boils down to.
Yeah. I mean, look, to your point about you should be able to see the positives, even Richard Dawkins has admitted that lately with some of his comments saying like, oh, I don't want Christianity to go away. It's kind of like Christian values are almost the underpinning of all the morals that actually exist in the world right now. And other viewpoints kind of hijack that and kind of try to manipulate it and hijack it for their under their own worldview and try to make like a humanist, for example. It's so funny to me watching there's like a webpage and a YouTube channel for like the humanists, and they'll talk, where do morals come from? And then they just sit there and talk about basically their preferences. They're like, well, we should be nice to one another. Well, why? Like, if we're just bags of gas and we're just molecules fizzing, why would I care? Why would I not just do what I think is best for my survival? Why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah.
And they say, well, you just need to be nice. That's the humanist view. Well, that's just your preference. That's great. I don't agree. Now what? This is where having an ultimate standard matters. But, Richard Dawkins sees that.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think the thing is, at the end of the day, our entire legal system, our system of right and wrong is built on the foundation of scripture. The root of it is the Ten Commandments. And I think so people say like, oh, I don't like scripture. I think we need to completely get away from that. And it's like, okay, let's actually do that. How about we scrub everything from the foundation of our legal system, which is, again, rooted in the Old Testament. Let's scrub all of that and then see how much you like a world that is not built on the Judeo-Christian values. Because I think pretty quickly people would say, can we have those back?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Well, and I think though we need to call these examples out just as a final comment on this, because this is egregious and it's the media narrative that actually distorts the truth continuously. And so the more we can call these things out, I mean, this is a preposterous, ridiculous segment in every single way.
Yep. No, 100%. And I think you're 100% right on calling it out, because the other side, the secular atheists that push against Christianity, they do this over and over and over and over, whether it's on MSNBC or on social media. They're often the loudest on social media. And it's like, you just repeat these things. And eventually it seeps into the conscience of Americans. And you're right. We absolutely have to push back, because again, we have we have to, because if we sit there silent, next thing we know, we're going to be looking around and saying, what happened? But it's also the truth that we have on our side as well. So you can be confident when you reply to this thing, to these things, that we have ultimate truth on our side. So you can't really be worried about it. If you don't know how to articulate it, I guarantee you there's somebody a lot smarter than you or all of us who know how to do it. And you can find a clip and show it to people and whatever other opportunities come up for you. But appreciate you putting that one on the radar today, Billy. And so with that, we're going to head over to the main thing now. And there's a group feeling a major impact from the October 7th Hamas attack. And it's Israeli farmers. And some American farmers have stepped up to harvest and plow and bring much needed skills and help into the fields. These are close to Gaza, where people either had to go into the army so they couldn't harvest their own crops, or they just had to get out of that area. And so these farmers have been able to go help, and CBN's Julie Stahl has this remarkable story on today's main thing.
Here on Moshav Dekel near Gaza, war prevented farmers from harvesting this eggplant crop.
They should have been harvested in November, December, and there was no workers. So, in a very literal sense, the in Israel, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few.
We didn't have water for our crops. And in October, it was very hot here. And then after the water came back, the workers leave. We used to have foreign workers from Thailand.
That's when author Doug Hershey stepped in to help by arranging trips for farmers to come here.
I have a company called Ezra Adventures that is a travel company for small groups, but in Hebrew, Ezra or Ezra means help. When you have specific skills from the States that connect with specific needs in Israel and to be able to blend those, it's really been amazing.
Aner Agiv, a farmer here, is also head of security.
It's incredible that guys from another country decide to come here with on their own money and on their own spare time. They're also farmers as us. It's beautiful.
These volunteers behind me are picking strawberries less than 2 miles from the Gaza border. If they weren't here helping out, these strawberries wouldn't likely go to market.
We heard that there was a big need in this area since a lot of the farmers were called into the reserves and military, that a lot of the crops were going unharvested.
This is Katie Schertzer's first time in Israel.
Picking strawberries at home, we would be picking them down on the ground and not up in the air. So this is very cool to see. The people here are fantastic. Even though they're going through war right now, they're so giving at the same time.
Kelly Zimmerman, another first-timer, says she came to link arms and give support.
I think there's no better way than to show up in person, and we've experienced that. It means a lot to people here, and so it's been a beautiful thing so far.
But you came during a war. Were you afraid?
No. I love adventure.
What are you going to tell people when you go home?
Come to Israel. Experience it for yourself.
Bella, who owns the strawberry greenhouses, says without volunteers, she wouldn't have had a crop or income.
The volunteers did so much. I don't have enough words to thank them for what they did.
Danny, whose identity is hidden for security reasons, says for the last 6 months, this area has felt frozen in time, but the volunteers are helping bring it back to life.
So what do you think about these volunteers?
Oof, it's amazing. It's amazing. After the 7th of October, you know, after the few months, it's hard for us to push. And these people come, you know, with big heart to help us, you know.
Pennsylvania farmers John Kreider and Jim Schertzer are helping Danny.
We're all farmers. We love working hard. We love the agriculture. We love working with farmers, the whole atmosphere. So it's just a chance to serve at what we're good at.
This morning we were cutting down trees that are around a water source that he is going to be using for expansion of his fields.
And their message when they go home.
Just that they're good people. They've suffered a lot, but they're resilient and they're forging ahead, but they needed help.
It's a great country. Not to be cliche, but it's flowing with milk and honey. It's amazing to see green fields in the middle of the desert.
Hershey says they're stepping into the pages of the Bible to fulfill prophecy.
Isaiah 61 talks about strangers and foreigners coming to help, but not just help, working in the fields, tending the vineyards, and that's exactly what we've been doing.
He encourages others to step up and help.
There are tremendous needs here in this land. Israel is heartbroken. They are still grieving the losses of friends. They're still trying to figure out families that are scattered all over the place. This is the time to support Israel. You can support by prayer. You can support by financially giving. And there are opportunities, whether it's with groups with mine, with Ezra Adventures, or other opportunities. There are opportunities to come and help, to actually be involved.
He says it also honors the covenant God made with the Jewish people forever.
For Christians, if they've enjoyed their Jewish Bible and their Jewish Messiah, they've enjoyed the spiritual blessings of Israel, and Christians owe a debt according to Romans 15. And the way you repay that debt is to minister to Israel and to serve Israel with material needs. If there's ever been a time to do that, it's right now.
Julie Stahl, CBN News, Moshav Dekel, Southern Israel.
All right, Julie, thanks so much for that piece right there. Truly remarkable. To see these people taking their own time and their own money, as the one gentleman said, to go over there and help. And there's just something about that, right? It's great to donate and great to do that online, but when you're face to face, as the one young woman said, that just takes it to a whole another level, right? That sort of help.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Being able to be the hands and feet, you know, on the ground there. Powerful.
All right.
Yeah, it's an awesome story.
Indeed. All right. Let's head on over to our last thing here, because that's what we have time for on this Thursday, this Friday Junior edition of the Quick Start Podcast. One last thing.
We're looking at Matthew 4:4. It says, "The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Yeah. Love that.
Yep. Indeed. Great spot to leave it here on the podcast. As always, get yourself on over to cbnnews.com and faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us. We'll be back here tomorrow with more. And until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Stay safe out there. God bless, and we'll see you next time.